Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass. And this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are breaking down everything regarding that Falcons game yesterday. They did lose 23-20 to the Bucs. Michael Penix completed 27 of 42 passes for 298 yards and one touchdown. Unfortunately, the kick by Koo at the end could have extended the game, but it wasn't successful. And we are taking your calls all morning. See how you're feeling. Kind of a temperature check. See how Falcons Nation is holding up today. 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Reese. Reese is on his way to work in Covington. Reese, what's going on?
Hey, man. Good morning, y'all. Long-time listener, first-time caller in. Look, I got a few opinions. First of all, I was on Grayson's football team back in 2012 during their first state championship as an inside linebacker. Right now, I coach a middle school right now that's very, 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 very successful. And when I was watching the game yesterday, I could diagnose even. I'm just a middle school coach. I could diagnose every time they're going to run the ball. You bring Charlie Warner on motion to the left, to the right, I knew immediately they're going to run that way. And first of all, also, I want to know why we're in the pistol on every single play except for one on the goal line where Penix goes under center. I'm just a bit confused as to that kind of scheme. I don't really understand. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're going to run. So I'm just a bit confused. I think that's the point. I'm not sure if anyone else brought that up, but to me, it just didn't make sense as to why we're in the pistol everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we lost them. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
and thank you.
Reese.
Thank you for listening. Obviously, I will say this, and we've brought this conversation up numerous times. The pistol is something that is easier for the quarterback to get to the handoff point for wide zone. And that's why it's been implemented so much to us. You can't run wide zone out of shotgun. I know a lot of people think you can. You just can't. You can run mid zone. You can run inside zone. You can run duo out of shotgun. You just can't run wide zone. So you go into the pistol so that you can get to the handoff point for wide zone so that the cutback lanes and the reach blocks and things like that are put into motion. Now, as far as the Charlie Warner things go, but I agree with him. I hate to, but I'm completely agreeing with him. As a matter of fact, it set Charlie Warner up to be exposed. There was a couple of times that those inside linebackers, Servasio Dennis, come down and exploded on him one time when he was put into motion because he knew exactly where the play was going.
I've got the film playing on loop, and I've got the exact play you're talking about. And Servasio Dennis, who played really well, he was out most of we didn't see him last year. He missed, I think, all but like four games. And those were like the first four. But I just watched like literally that play, and, you know, boom. That's part of it. They can't run inside on Tampa Bay because of number 50. And so everything gets put out, and that's part of that extension of that game. And it kind of it limits what they can do. I think you might have said this. It's a bad matchup for them with Tampa in the run game. That's why their success comes to that point. Their corners can't cover your receivers. And for whatever.
Call. Huh? So that's a good call.
But for whatever reason, you couldn't push the ball downfield yesterday effectively. And that to me, if you want to really get to we can give Penix his flowers all we want. And I'm sounding really a Penix problem. It's probably a Zach. It's a Penix. It's a Dwayne Ledford, an offensive line, a protection, a receiver thing.
Darnell Mooney thing as well.
Yeah. Yep. You did not do a good job of winning downfield. You didn't do a good job of having time to throw the ball downfield. And you didn't do a good job when you did throw the ball downfield because Penix missed passes yesterday downfield.
Well, and I think the play with 10 seconds left to Kadarius Hodge that I know numerous people have already tweeted us about, there's something to be said for that, too. I thought that was actually a good throw. He's just not looking for the ball. The Casey Washington play that was broke up in the fourth quarter down that left sideline.
The Antoine Winfield play on Casey Washington
really good.
Was phenomenal.
Really good.
The Kadarius Hodge is, at the worst, illegal contact.
Yes.
Because the reason Kadarius Hodge wasn't looking for the ball, because he got ran into.
Yeah.
And it knocked his concentration off, and he looks up, and the ball's going over his head. You know, as much as I kill him, I thought Kyle Pitts did a really good job late in the game yesterday, staying alert, staying in the game, and finding him a way to get open and be an outlet for Michael Penix. You know, we can – look, it just comes back to, and you said it, and it's such a phenomenal point. It's the exact same game on Thursday night last year.
Exact same.
But your kicker has been wrong for way too much lately, and that's where the game went wrong. Now, look, doesn't all come down to one play. Your defense, Rukororo can't make a stupid penalty where you hit Baker Mayfield out of the pocket when he's throwing the ball away, and it just – did he embellish it a little bit? Sure, but don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think we'll break it down frontward and backwards. One of the other things I was looking at, you know, Kirk Cousins last year got sacked four times for 32 yards. Threw for 509, but got sacked four times. That was part of the inefficiency as well. And I'm with you. I mean, I was just about to go to Twitter and read our buddy Chance that always tweets at us. He had a good tweet, I thought. He thought Kyle Pitts actually looked decent, to your point. He said visibly more effort. He said the right tackle was decent in pass rush. Not great in the run game. I completely agree with that. Let up one sack in a key moment. Defense held the Bucs to 260 yards of total offense. Great point. They were one of the best offenses in the NFL last year, but we are still missing sacks. I feel that as well. Caden Ellis had a couple that you got stepped through that I thought could have landed and sent us home, but they did affect Baker a lot of times.
They scored three touchdowns yesterday. Two of them came on short field opportunities.
Yep.
The punt return. If you just want to get down to it, special teams was not very good yesterday at all. You gave up the big punt return. You missed a game time field goal. You should have probably missed an extra point, but it knocked in. You didn't do very well on kick returns. You also had Kadarius Hodge get that block in the back on that final drive, which puts you backwards, which whatever sets you back. So your special teams wasn't very good yesterday, but the fact that they had three touchdowns and two of them were on short field, the fourth down turnover on downs, and then the punt return. I think overall we can nitpick the defense, but again, you held Mike Evans to 51 yards receiving. You held Bucky Irvin to 2.5 yards a carry. If you take away Baker's 39 yards on scrambles, they had something like 60-something yards rushing.
Yeah.
Well, and we do have a lot of tweets coming in. Fast and Furious at 929 Morning Shift with a lot of great points out there. Pastor Herb tweeted, in short yardage situations, why don't we run a read option with Penix? I feel like that is open all day because no one is expecting it.
I said this yesterday on the post game of Grant McCauley. I would expect at some point. When you run a wide zone offense, and I just mentioned sometimes you can run mid zone. When you go out of the shotgun, you can run a mid zone play. We've done that in years past where you've kind of sprinkled in a little bit of mid zone. It kind of looks like wide zone. And you can run a read option out of that. You can run an inside zone, run a read option off of that. That was an Arthur Smith staple. Arthur Smith understands wide zone with the best of them. As much as you don't like him as a head coach, the man can coach a wide zone offense, and that was one of the staples with Desmond Ridder. Once you got inside the 20s, you saw a zone read. And that's the thing with wide zone. Great between the 20s, start getting in shorter field, then all of a sudden it becomes a little more difficult and things tighten up. I am positive at some point we'll see that, right? Like, we're going to see the zone read coming sometime.
I think it's a wrinkle that they'll work in, especially based off of what he did yesterday with his legs. Can you answer a question for me? I don't know if you can. I don't want to put you on the spot. But
I'll do my best.
How come every time we ran a bootleg, there was a free rusher in his face?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because Arch did a great job of talking about this on the broadcast. And there's numerous ways to run bootlegs, right? That is a naked bootleg. What you were talking about yesterday and what we pretty much only ran was naked bootlegs. Now, we ran half boots at times, which were great, and you protected the backside. The first touchdown pass to Bijan is a half boot. If you watch the play action, he just kind of rotates right there in the pocket and kind of settles down, right? Waggle, whatever you want to call it. It's like a half boot play action kind of thing where he moves the pocket and then settles in. I don't know why we never adjusted away from the naked bootleg. Now, people are saying, oh, that's bootlegs are built on. He was crashing the backside. They were doing it multiple ways, and they were not honoring the run on the backside for the most part. They didn't have to because they had a five-man defensive front a lot of the time that you were going against them, and they built that defense that way. Here's what I'll say, and Archer brought this up. I don't know why we never adjusted that. Like, you can run plays where you simply, you know, you slice back with Charlie Warner across the formation and put Charlie Warner in the flat, or you just simply line up Charlie Warner on the backside or Kyle Pitts. You shove the defensive end so that it's not a naked bootleg and kind of ricochet him, and then you leak into the flat, or a running back kind of chipping out. You know, we had multiple formations yesterday with two running backs in the game. You can chip on the way out. I don't know why they never adjusted that at any point. I don't know why Zach Robinson continued to go back to the naked bootleg. I guess thinking that Michael Penix could outrun that defense, but he was not put in good spots. And we never adjusted the bootleg game yesterday to reflect what they were trying to do up front defensively. It was definitely frustrating. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, and I think the comments I'm seeing on Twitter, it looks like fans have more questions than answers from yesterday's game. We're going to continue to go through some of these questions you have. Tyler Thomas, I see you hanging on the line. Thank you for calling. We just ran out of time right now, but we will be taking more calls throughout the show. Coming up next, we're going to zoom out a little bit, see how everyone else fared for week one in the NFL. And I've got a question for Dylan about his Philly excursion. I think I caught something. It is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:23 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan behind the glass, who's about to be on the hot seat. Coming up, We are going to go in the huddle. But I do want to mention this Saturday from noon until 2, I'm going to be out at Lou Saab Kia in Noonan as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan is going to win a 50-inch 4K smart TV, and it's a whole tailgate kit. You get the rolling stand, you get a Yeti cooler. And then another winner is going to take home tickets to an upcoming home game. That's going to be the Atlanta-Washington game. That is Saturday, 10 to noon at noon to 2 at Lou Saab Kia in Noonan with me on Sports Radio 99 The Game. So we got that Noonan, noon to 2. I want you to go out there, though, because Chris from Carrollton showed up this last Saturday. Big listener of 99 The Game. First time he's ever met a personality from 92.9 The Game.
There you go.
So we officially have three members
in
Allie's army. But Chris showed up, and I was simply asking him, like, how do you think we're going to do tomorrow? And he was really excited for the Tampa game. And I was like, where are you going to watch? You going to a bar? What are you going to do? And he was like, no. Me and my wife, Tiff, we're just going to hang out at home. Dude walked away with those tickets.
There you go.
He was there yesterday.
Bravo.
Yes.
Chris from Carrollton. Yeah.
I will say he didn't officially declare Allie's army. He was like, well, I like everyone.
No.
He was like, I like everyone. However, Bo likes Florida and Mike's a Bama guy. And he's like, well, I like Georgia. And he was like, there we go.
Here we go. I knew it was coming out at some point.
But he was very excited about that. And then Sherelle bought a Kia at the remote, and then walked away with that 50-inch TV. She has to put it in the back of her brand new car.
Oh, okay. I thought that was her last name. I was like, I've never heard that last name before.
No, Sherelle
bought a Kia. I was like, damn, where is she from?
I just mumbled my words too much.
But Sherelle bought a Kia. Yeah. Congratulations, Sherelle.
How long till we hear Allie start voicing Kia? We want to see you in a brand new Kia. Like, I just know it's coming. I know it's coming.
It was a great time. And there's always like hot dogs and stuff on the grill. So please come out this Saturday. I would love to meet you. And you could be like Chris and Sherelle and win prizes. All right, Dylan, we got to talk about Philly.
I love this. I cannot wait for this.
Okay.
You know what? Go ahead and play the In the Huddle music, and we'll go In the Huddle with this. All right, so Dylan was a very supportive boyfriend and went to the Phillies opener last week. We talked about that last week. We talked about it Friday, the spitting, everything. Mm. But then I saw some of Simone's videos on Twitter.
Mm.
And I so badly wanted to pull them. But, you know, as soon as I pull them, they go straight to Dylan. So I couldn't reveal what I noticed about the videos.
That's a good point.
Dylan, was there a banner giveaway with the Eagles?
Yes, there was.
Okay. So Simone gets her banner, and she's with another fan. They're going, champs, champs.
Oh,
yes. Who else is yelling champs in the background?
Oh, no, he was not.
Wait.
No, he was not. Please, no.
Wait, what?
Please, no.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. Now I have to go on her Twitter.
Did you yell
Cassie?
Champs or not?
You were yelling
it's not,
champs.
We don't need video evidence. You were there.
I don't remember.
Oh,
Dylan.
No.
I don't remember.
You were caught
that was
up.
That was a long day,
no,
and I honestly do not remember if I was yelling champs.
I have had your back in this.
I don't recall.
He was caught up in the moment.
I don't recall.
And Simone's dancing with another fan, and Dylan in the background is going, champs, champs, champs.
Can we confirm that this was me? Are we sure? Is it? I mean, do we know it's my voice?
How about
I have to go back and
we go through a few of the games that happened for week one, and you pull up Simone's Twitter.
Okay.
And see if you can find that video.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, you mean,
I have the video right here. No, I will
stop.
Have the audio for a short.
It's a man up Monday, Dylan.
You don't need us. We don't need to confirm or deny it. You need to deny
it's
and
within
you
your
have
soul, my friend.
And you have yet to deny it.
I am
it
actively is denying it because I
no,
do not remember.
You
said it was a long day.
It was.
You started stuttering. You started making it was a long day, and I don't even
hey,
know
she
if
she
I
set
was
you
there
up for that one too, because she said, "Did you film the video?" So
I
your
did,
voice
I
behind the camera.
I did film that video.
Going, champs.
That is champs. Totally you.
There was a lot of got people it there yelling champs. Yeah, I don't know if it was me, but I'm gonna have the auto for us in just a second.
How do you not know?
You
wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You just said it was a long day, so you don't remember.
It was.
Then you said it wasn't you, and you're denying it. And then you said you can't remember. So which is it, Mr. Matthews?
I don't think you
answer the question.
I am. I don't think it was me. I don't remember it was me.
How do you not know it was you? How do you not remember what you did? Were you were you drunk? Were you on some kind of substance that would make you not remember?
No.
How do
I
you
mean,
not remember
I was
you
feeling good.
Answer
not drunk
the question.
I was feeling good. I wouldn't say drunk, but you know, I was feeling good.
Are you or not you not chanting champs?
I don't think I was because I don't think I
what
would
do
something like that.
What do you mean
like
you don't
that
think? How do you not know?
All
how
right
is this not clear?
All right, all right. Were you abbreviated is what I took away from that.
That is what I'm saying from now on.
That was what I am saying from now on with somebody's been drinking. Right. You look abbreviated.
Let's while he gets that
got
audio.
Carried away. Couldn't get the words out.
Let's talk about last
unlike
night's
Dylan
game. Buffalo beat Baltimore 41-40. Very close game.
What an incredible comeback from Buffalo. I think Josh Allen actually ended up talking trash to the fans a little bit. He's like, yeah, some people in the stands leaving a little bit early, didn't believe in us. Yeah, but we, you know, we always had faith, have a little faith in us. Just great. Just a battle between two MVPs. You expect that to be an incredible game. It absolutely delivered on all fronts. Buffalo able to come back and get that one-point victory on that last-minute field goal. They're both good quarterbacks. Let me just leave it at that. I don't need to split hairs on who carries their defense or who relies on their defense.
Well, neither.
Who cares?
They
both
they're carry, both
extremely good.
They both carried defenses last night. With this being the score, Lamar had a 70. Dude, Lamar just, you know, he's so good. He brings such another element. But Josh Allen over 400 yards total offense. Lamar almost 300. They're just both so freaking good. And look, it's okay. It's okay for them. It's okay.
I agree. We don't have to just sit here and say one of them's better than the other. We don't have to do
I know
that.
You know what kills me is that people want you to argue about it, and we can't love both of them equally.
Dude, they're so good.
I love both of them.
And we'll go back to that topic earlier. You were like, I feel like, you know, Lamar should be more reserved and a little more calculated in these situations. Completely co-sign on Lamar shoving that fan.
No. I just see you're taking that context. I'm not upset with him. I just don't want this to be a trend, and I want him to be careful because I don't want the last thing I want is one of the premier players in the league suspended because something happens and something goes too far or injured or we get into this trend where fans and players are in an issue. It's just a bad thing overall. I'm not criticizing Lamar in any way.
No, I know you do. I was trying to do a good job of making sure I didn't take you out of contest. You said, I hope, you know, hopefully he's a little more calculated in the way he approaches
just
the fans.
Just be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be careful. Because
I'm going to tell you right now, though, I'm glad he wasn't careful. That guy mugged him in the head. Shoved his head.
Well, the fan should be ejected immediately.
And banned for life.
But it goes down a road that a path I don't want us to go down.
Now, we got to talk about the Steelers game, but I'm going to warn you, we do have audio from Dylan to play before we leave
okay
this segment in the huddle. So we're going to talk about the Steelers first. So the Steelers beat the Jets 34-32. Aaron Rodgers, pretty excited about that. He was actually asked about it in his presser, how it felt to beat his former team.
I was happy to beat everybody associated with the Jets.
Now, he was asked specifically about Aaron Glenn and about their meeting, and did it feel good to beat Aaron Glenn? And that's his answer, which is the proper way to answer it. If you have a problem with that comment, then you should have a problem with the question. Reporters aren't allowed to ask whatever they want, and the players not allowed to answer it in this politically correct way. I loved exactly what Aaron Rodgers said.
I did too.
And that's how he should feel. They told you to kick rocks.
There's also a beauty in the fact that in the NFL, why most people don't say things, there's always that saying, never burn a bridge when it comes to the NFL.
Well, that bridge seems to be already burned, though.
No. Well, here's what I was going to say is he ain't got to worry about burning no bridges. What does Aaron Rodgers have to worry about? We don't even know if he's going to play beyond this year. He ain't worried about that.
But I like Aaron Glenn. But Aaron Glenn kind of took shots too, you know. Before this game, he said he basically said we didn't want that type of guy around here. Like he pretty much came out and said that. So that bridge is been burned.
Yeah, man. That's some crazy stuff. I loved it, though.
You're right, though, about the he's going to retire, so what's the matter?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, dude, yeah, that ship has sailed. I don't have to worry about being ever around those people ever again. Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome.
Quickly, I want to mention that the Colts did beat the Dolphins 33-8, and Green Bay beat the Lions 27-13. Now, we have the evidence. We have the video in question. Dylan has pulled it.
He looks so timid right now.
And so, again, Dylan was up supporting his girlfriend. She's an Eagles fan. He's a Falcons fan, allegedly. Went to the home opener, and they were giving out banners. And Simone is dancing in this video with another fan. They're shouting champs. And in the background, what do we hear?
Right in the man cave.
Big champ.
Big champ.
Big champ.
Oh. No.
I can explain myself.
I dare you to try to deny that.
I can explain myself. That was just me hyping them up. That wasn't me expressing that I was an Eagles fan. I'm a Falcons fan, ride or die. I was born and raised here. I am a Falcons fan through and through. I bleed red and black.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you and Simone take a picture at the game together?
Oh, my gosh.
We took a selfie.
Can I see it?
I've had your
It's on her phone. She took it on her phone.
Uh-huh. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing I'm actually wearing a Drake shirt. I no lie, I'm wearing a Drake tour shirt. Wow. I promise you.
I've had your back on this for so long, man, that I just the whole champ.
Allie, you know what? Allie explained it best. I was hyping them up and not being a sour, you know, whatever. And I was just, you know, hyping them up and being happy for them. That's all I was doing. That's all I was doing.
It absolutely hurt me.
Your words are falling on deaf ears.
I have nothing
right
else to say.
I was being a hype man for them. That's it. I'm a Falcons fan.
So disappointed in you.
All right.
That was good, Allie.
Coming up. Lots of football over the weekend. We're going to dive into week 2 of college football next. Mike Dupp is also on the way. Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 on the line and 6 in the box. In motion comes Washington. Penix a play fake. Looks. Michael from the pocket. Back near side. Here's Robinson. He'll get the first down. 40. 35. 30. Bijan 25. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Oh boy. Third snap is a 50-yard pass. And Bijan Robinson houses it.
So good.
Injected into my veins.
It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is behind the glass. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. You just heard it. Bijan's touchdown to basically start the game yesterday between the Falcons and Bucks ended up being 23-20. Ultimately, Falcons did lose, but you two were there. What was that environment like when Bijan got that touchdown so early in the game?
Yeah, I was in the press box, Bo was standing right next to Wes as he's screaming that out. So,
yeah, I jumped up with a fist pump. And that was great. Look, I thought the fans were great yesterday.
I did too. Really impressed.
I remember I was texting with somebody who was there, and they were talking to, they were telling me where they were, and I was like, man, the building feels jacked right now. And this was early in the game, and it was cool. It was a really good moment. You just wish you could have. I mean, I think you did. I feel like you really controlled the first quarter completely. Your second drive was even good, and then it stalled out a little bit, and then it felt like you kind of went into a lull a little bit offensively, and that kind of killed it at times. But yeah, the crowd, you got to give the crowd credit. They were there. They were in their seats. They're ready to go, and you gave them something. And on that play, you think about that. They're looking to take a shot, and that's his third option, or his third progression, if you will. And that was Bijan, and even Bijan talked about it. Like, he knows if it's not there, he's got me as the outlet, and that's the actual playmaking ability with the big threat stuff. We've seen Bijan in other instances, but the big threat stuff, home run capability we've been looking for with Bijan. That was a very Anton Smith-esque touchdown. Make a guy miss, put your foot down, make another cut, and then you put your foot down again and outrun people.
Yeah, and look, Grant and I talked about this on postgame last night after, which one do we think he's going to be thinking more about, the 50-yard touchdown or the dropped ball on the check down later on in the game?
The drop.
It's the drop.
100%.
It's 100% the drop. And we know the representative that Bijan is, and he mentioned it in his postgame presser. And, Bo, I know you were right there talking to him when he was talking to Dave Archer. In that conversation, he's like, my teammates feed off of my positive energy, so I got to continue to exude that. I thought that was such a great cut from him because I agree. I think his teammates do feed off of his positive energy. And unfortunate. And did he also have a fumble early in the game, or was that a missed handoff?
He did. It looked like a pitch, actually.
Okay.
And he took his eyes off the ball.
Okay.
Fell back on it. It was the exact same thing he did with that. The drop catch,
yes.
The drop pass.
Yep.
You can't drop a catch because
right.
you don't complete it.
Yeah.
But that drop pass is he took his eyes off the ball and he's looking to make a move. That's just trying to do too much. And you love the fact that that's where he's at, but you also have to do the little things. You have to crawl before you can walk or whatever that saying is.
Well, I'm not sure which play it was. It was one of those two that you guys were just talking about where Bijan dropped it and you would expect like an emotional reaction or like, shoot, like something.
Right.
And he got just like clapped. He was like, let's go. And just like got back into it. I loved seeing that.
On the flip side, you watch Younghoe Koo after he missed the field goal. He's going to need a new helmet. I don't know if y'all caught the end of that.
He might not need a new helmet.
True. He might just be to turn that one in. No, I watched him. He spiked his helmet off the ground. I was like, that's going to need a new face mask or at least ear pads. You know what I mean? Because that's definitely the hardest that helmet's ever been hit.
Let's address that real quick. I know I've gotten multiple tweets, texts, in-person conversations about there needs to be a move made immediately. The reality is I'm not sure it is week one. Or it was. I'm not disagreeing with your thoughts, okay? I just want everybody to know I'm not disagreeing. I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying that I'm not sure if that happens yet. Maybe they bring someone in, a couple of people, and try them out.
Yeah.
But I think, and I know that we're thinking about last season, and that's fine, but I do believe that most times – and you're a guy that played on teams, and you can talk to this more than me, that there's going to be a hesitation to make a move after week one.
Sure.
I'm not saying there should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. I'm trying to be real. Everybody wants to be real, and until it doesn't fit narratives, I'm just not sure if they would do it. Not saying they shouldn't, just saying I'm not sure if they will.
Yeah, and I don't know if they will either. Do I think they should? Personally, yes. And I am the last person to talk about doing that, to getting rid of guys after 1 week. But, man, I look no further than the Buffalo game last night. You know how long Matt Prater was on the Buffalo Bills before he hit that game winner? Like 3 days.
I don't even know if it's that long. Yeah. I think he might have flew in that night.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally they signed him off the street. He's an 18-year veteran, and he comes in and buries a game winner. Like, his teammates are celebrating. They don't even know him. They're celebrating with him. And I just thought to myself, that must be a good feeling. You know what I mean? You weren't even part of that team just a couple of days ago. You bury a game winner, and you're Mr. Dependable. And so do I think kickers are a dime a dozen? I absolutely do not, especially not the clutch ones. But we can't continue to go down this route where we have him cost us opportunities at winning games that will lead to a playoff berth. And I don't think anybody in that organization, unless they were lying to you, would say that they had faith in him making a kick at the end of the game right now.
Look, I will be 100% honest with you. When it used to be a thing, when Koo went on the field, I felt good.
Yeah.
And then last year it was like, I think he's got it. And this year, the faith is not there. There's no doubt about it. Look, and kickers, you have no faith in a kicker until they do it, and then until they show you that they can't do it, you have complete faith, because that's just the nature of that position.
And what did we say every time he missed a kick last year? Well, it might be hurt. There's a groin, hip injury, whatever it may be. Dude,
well,
we're fresh. We're week one.
And you know, normally when he misses, he pushes it left. That was a shank. That thing went off to the right. I don't know what was. I sliced it.
Little fade.
I mean,
y'all think maybe it could have been a situation of too much adrenaline? I mean, you know, there was a kick competition, you know, quote unquote kick competition this year. I mean, I know he's a professional, but
he's never not. I mean, he's been in that situation before, though.
It's of
not
course,
like he had
yeah.
been there. He's not a rookie in his first game. Like, Young Wei Koo's made those field goals in the past, and I guess what? It doesn't get any easier. So if it is an adrenaline issue, that just adds to the problem. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
Yeah, if suddenly the kicker has adrenaline, and nerves and anxiousness and it shakes, and he's done. So get him out of there. Like, if kickers feel something before a kick, that's one of those things, kind of like, you know, if you're feeling any type of energy that's not just right, that relaxed thing, normally that's kind of a position to me that's bad. Am I wrong on that? Like, that's not a position like a linebacker where that energy helps you.
I think you're spot on.
Well, make sure to let us know how you're feeling today about that Falcons game. 404-726-0929. We have the wake-up call coming up at 8 a.m. You can sound off about those Falcons. Real quick before we get to mic'd up, I do want to mention Ohio State has claimed the number one spot in the AP poll. Georgia beat Austin Peay 28-6 after a slow start, but go Dogs regardless. Georgia Tech beat Gardner-Webb 59-12, and we're also going to figure out who won Man Up Monday this week at 8 a.m. Do either of you have any clue yet how that has panned out?
I think I hit at least one, so that's good, as opposed to last week I hit zero.
Right.
I think I got at least one.
It's only up from there.
Yeah, it can only go up from going 0-4 last week, but that's why we call it Man Up Monday.
Yeah.
If we were just parading around our wins, then we wouldn't call it Man Up Monday.
It's early in the season, but I think I've made people money.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, and you talked about this last week. Whenever you're gambling, you can kind of go pick the ones and be a little bit more picky about which ones you're going to actually put money on. When we're all picking the same four every week, it's like, dude, this is the great equalizer. Like, I'm not picking these lines. I probably wouldn't put money on most of the ones we've talked about. So, you're right, though. Allie, to go back to it real quick before we get mic'd up, Ohio State 2-0, obviously going to claim the number one ranking in the AP poll. You know, Penn State, number two. I think a lot of people, and I know Bo's been kind of on this conversation, talking to Phil Steele all the way back a month ago. It's an interesting thing, the way this, you know, these top teams are starting to kind of separate themselves, and we see the ups and the downs of the college football season and how these teams start to line up. You go all the way back to, you know, like, did South Florida finally get in it this week? Because they've beat two top 25 teams.
Yeah, they're in it.
Yeah, they're at 18 right now. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. And Ole Miss avoids the collapse they had last year against Kentucky, and they continue to stay in the top 20 as well. So a lot of good stuff coming from college football. There's no doubt about it. I don't know which ones you were able to watch on Saturday, Bo, but I didn't. I was at the Monster Truck Rally instead of watching the Bama game. And evidently, Bama played as close to a perfect game as you can, although it be it against Louisiana Monroe. But I wasn't watching every snap of that one.
Yeah, I watched that Cy-Hawk Trophy game. Well, that was a good game.
That was a good game.
Iowa and Iowa State is always the exact same game every year. It's like in the teens, and they play. The both teams are so good defensively. The tight ends for Iowa State are always pretty good. One Arch and I were talking about this. One kid is probably gonna you know, NFL type guy. But the other one, number 84, he made a couple of catches yesterday. I mean, in that game, that on that final drive, that was phenomenal. The Ole Miss Kentucky game was a lot more back and forth than people realize.
Yeah, it was.
And you know that was a fun game to watch. And I watched Florida USF.
Okay. Yeah, that was a tough one. Florida USF. I know that a lot of people were tweeting me about you. I'll tell you who else almost caught an L too. You want to talk about closer than you imagine? I thought Troy was going to beat Clemson the entire game.
Yeah,
the entire game. I thought Troy was going to beat Clemson. They played a tough brand of football. Clemson pulls away right there in the fourth quarter, but that one was a close one. All right, let's hit this mic'd up, Dylan. As always, mic'd up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Crazy weekend in the Johnson household. Had my parents in and my mother-in-law in as well because my son was starting his T-ball journey. It was a little bit hectic. If you followed this saga, last year we tried to sign him up for T-ball as a four-year-old, and about 10 minutes in, he panicked. He started crying. He escaped the field. He ran to mommy's arms.
Aww.
The exact same thing happened this time. He was running bases for the very first thing he'd ever done. He was running bases, and he didn't hit first base, and a couple of the older kids kind of chuckled you know, that he didn't touch first base. So he ran towards mommy. He ran towards the fence. What did I do? I went over there and I plucked him right off that fence. I said, absolutely not. We are not doing this again. Got him right back in line. He tucked that lip in, went through the rest of practice, and he had an absolutely good time.
Okay, good.
So, yes.
But he jacked those other kids for laughing.
No, well, they're like high schoolers that were there helping out. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, that's not going to – he's going to probably be out, guys. So it kind of is what it is. I put a picture of it on my story at MPJohnson79 on Instagram. My daughter's starting ballet as well. Like Aww. This whole family saga is what it is. As a payoff to him, we took him to Monster Jam on Saturday night. Insane. We were at the Gas South Arena up in Duluth, took him to Monster Jam, danced the whole time. I got him a monster truck toy.
Grave they Digger.
Exactly. Grave Digger was there. El Toro Loco. There's just a bunch of them. It was a really, really cool time. Small venue, but man, they made it a lot worth it. Had a couple cool wrecks. He thought it was the coolest thing ever. One of them flipped.
Yeah.
Now, losing his mind. We had a great weekend.
He does know that after every practice, he doesn't get to go to Monster Jam, right?
I hope so. And it's fall ball, so it's like six practices. But nonetheless, man, he had a great weekend. I was glad we got through that first one. And yeah, I'm going to have to break it to him that next week he doesn't get to go to Monster Trucks, but really, really fun, man, and ended up obviously at Mercedes-Benz yesterday for the Falcons game. I know we lost, but I do want to say the same thing that Bo said. I thought the crowd was phenomenal. So shout-out to Falcons fans for getting it done yesterday. But, fun weekend in the Johnson house, and hopefully we're on to weekend number two of T-ball. So we'll see what happens.
Was it hard on you, though, to see your kids kind of growing up like this?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Was it hard on me? I think I had a harder time at T-ball than he did. Yeah. He was taking instruction very well from the coaches out there. And will put you away. As a dad who knows his son is timid and has never done this before, and he looked at me at one point. The coach coached him and then walked off, and he looked at me and he goes, Daddy, is this right? Like the way he was holding the ball, and I was like, yes, buddy. That's the way to do it, okay? Aww. You're doing a great job. So, yeah, just a fun weekend, man. The Johnsons had an action-packed electric weekend, so – we're doing good over in my way.
Love it. Love it. Well, coming up, it is Man Up Monday. Mike and Bo have to man up to their picks from Friday. Plus, we've got the wake-up call. This is where you get to react about that Falcons game yesterday, 404-726-0929. Take over the show. We want to hear all your thoughts about yesterday's game, 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us at 929-MorningShift. Man Up Monday and the Wake Up Call are next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.